Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership, where we focus on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. We will be back with you shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes.
Good evening and welcome to Studio G. We're so excited to have you here tonight. And we finished up our discussions on the Omega Leader, and we are so excited to be joining Lori Beth Jones today as we begin to explore the ideas and concepts of her brand new book being published on May 4th called Jesus Career Counselor. It's being published by Howard Books, which is a division of Simon & Schuster. And we are going to be exploring this book, which is packed with great information, exercises, and things that matter when you're looking for your perfect job, the perfect work, or as Lori would describe it, your path and your mission. Lori believes that you find and keep work that you enjoy, and she's carefully crafted this industry information and biblical text that teaches us how to become metathinkers and to rise to the level of our divine destiny. So we are excited to launch this conversation. Lori, are you in the house, girl?
I'm in the house.
And Shelley, are you in the house far away in Ohio?
I am. I'm here long distance, yes.
And Vicki, are you in the house?
I'm here in San Diego, nice and warm.
Well, we are excited to launch this, and I think that, Vicki, you had some great conversations to kind of get this great, new, exciting topic rolling.
Well, I was telling Lori Beth Jones that when I heard for the first time that she was working on this book, I was really excited about it. And so just for our audience, can you tell us a little bit of how come, when did you come with this idea, Jesus Career Counselor? And let's talk about the timing too, and what do you expect your readers to get from your book?
Well, the original title of the manuscript was called The 12 Dreams of the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking, you know, thinking about the two dreams that most humans have. If you look at our commercials, our infomercials, our self-help books, most of the human dreams can fall under two categories. We want to achieve something, or we want to attain something. And so I asked, Lord, what are your dreams for us? And that's when these 12 dreams just flowed. I couldn't write them down fast enough. And that became the basis for the book. And then when I submitted it to my editors, they looked at it and they said, you know, the times are such that this really is a career counseling approach. And that's how the book was shaped. And I was at first taken aback. You know, I thought, oh, I wanted this to be purely the Holy Spirit dreaming for us. And then I realized the ultimate practicality of what they were saying and just had a great time writing it.
Excellent. And I really like the photo, the main photo in the book. You know, it could be any office, anywhere. It could be your home office. And I think it doesn't matter where you are. These concepts that you are discussing here in your book are going to be a great resource for anybody who has a job but is not completely satisfied or is wondering if this is a good point in their life to think about something else. Is there something else? And, you know, just to think that the way you organize your ideas and the 12 dreams, the Holy Spirit helping you uncover all the nuggets of information and wisdom, I'm really excited that we're going to discuss this.
We have a caller on the line. I wanted to welcome our caller. I was wondering, did you have a question or a comment for Lori? I guess it's an anonymous caller. So, Lori, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted. You were about to respond to Vicki there.
That's all right. Well, the picture is of, as Vicki described, it's really an office chair in an empty office staring out at skyscrapers. It looks like it could be Chicago. She's right. It could be any office. And, it was really interesting. As I was writing the book, we had what we called Bloody Monday. I think 75,000 jobs were lost in one day. And, you know, the timing of this was so profound. I had a neighbor, my next-door neighbor, who'd been employed for 25 years, the San Diego Union, as the head photographer, walked by one day, and I asked how he was doing, and he said they had laid off 200 of them at the paper the same day. And so it was happening all around me. And, you know, many times I was moved to tears by the timeliness of it and about the profound life changes that people all around me were going through.
You talked a little bit about the 12 dreams is kind of what inspired you. Do you want to share with us a little bit about what those 12 dreams are and
sure.
kind of paint that picture for us?
Sure. Well, you know, the elements are kind of my organizing principles. So the fire of leadership skills. Under fire, God wants us to rise, to risk, and to roar. And under water, God wants us to reflect, renew, and restore. And just like the earth, God wants us to remain, return, and regenerate. And just like the wind, God wants us to release, revive, and rejoice. And when I look at all of those, if you met someone who was doing all of those things, do you think they would ever be out of work?
They're pretty tired, but no, they wouldn't be out of work.
And we're not called to do all of them all at the same time. But as readers look at the book, I want them to go through and quickly glance at those 12 dreams and just ask themselves, which ones of these really resonate with my soul? For example, under rise, risk, and roar, the fires might always think they need to rise and risk and roar. But as I share in the book some of my own career challenges, there reached a time where I couldn't get off the floor, much less rise, risk, and roar. And that's when I went to my opposite element of the water, and I came back to San Diego and just went to the beach every day because I needed to reflect, renew, and be restored. So it's kind of a self-diagnostic tool in one sense with the 12 dreams. And then as I went through and looked at the scriptures that supported those, I was overwhelmed. And we can talk a little bit more about those as we go on.
You raise a really good question. I wonder what insight you might have. Like, as a fire, my instincts might be to rise, risk, and roar, but maybe for completion and for healing, like you said, or maybe just out of desperation, we need to access our other elements. But that's not always the first... It's not always the first place we go to. Vicki and I were discussing it last night when I was had my second interview for my current position as principal, and we had been given a different profile, the DISC profile, which basically also said I was a fire and tend to roar a lot. And so the superintendent looked at me and he said, you know, this said that you were this personality profile, and tell me about that. And I said, you know, very enlightened, I said, well, I recognize that about myself and I work hard to be balanced and to not react in such a way. And he said to me, he looked me in the eye and he said, that's all well and good, but when you're at your worst, you go back to your base response. So I guess my question would be, as a fire, my base response is probably going to be to roar. What can I do when I'm in that situation to make myself renew, reflect, and restore, or to revive, or to rejoice? How can I steer myself against my natural inclination to be more complete and to kind of reach some of that healing?
Well, and a lot of that comes from what we had discussed in, you know, the Omega Leadership Series, which is understanding your team and understanding where you want to go. This is probably more about the individual work. You know, what do you need to roar? Sometimes roaring means finding your own voice. It means focusing in on the gift that you have. And are you yelling or are you roaring, you know, with passion and appropriately? I talk in the book about, I have a little dragon, and there's a new movie out called How to Tame Your Dragon, and I think all of us fires need to go see that. But
Can't wait.
Yeah, and it's this little dragon, and she's so cute because she has on a pink choir robe, and her little manicured claws are folded in prayer, and she has a little halo over her little dragon head, and she's trying so hard to be good. But you know that if she just sneezed, the whole choir would catch on fire, you know.
I want to see that movie.
That's right. So it's about moderation and modulation and the appropriate way to engage with others.
Lori, I have a question for you and maybe even a comment. Today, one of your followers on Twitter, as you put a post out there today about as you're sharing some of the information from this book and causing people to kind of stop and think and reflect about their work and about their job or about their career, there was one of your followers that commented on, you know, I've never really thought of my job as part of my reason for being, right? Mm-hmm. I see it as a way to, you know, to pay the bills, you know, to take care of my responsibility, and then I see my reason for being as, you know, being the hands and feet of Christ. So again, we're back at that place at where, you know, where we have this separation between our divine purpose, right? Why we were created and, you know, why we're on this earth, this team and this family doing this task. You want to speak to that a little bit? Because you talk about this book, really the overarching concept, I think, as we're unpacking this tonight. And for our listeners, this is our first night, right, of unpacking this book with Lori Beth. And so we're all just trying to get our legs about how this is going to unfold over the next several weeks. But the title of this is How to Find and Keep Your Perfect Work. Wow, that is huge. Speak to that and speak to the direction that, you know, if you could look out at May 4th, the book is launched, right? It's being sold. It's in the hands of individuals. What are you wanting people to take away from this work? What are you wanting them to gain by looking at how to find and keep their perfect work? What's the end result here that you desire to see?
I want to see a world full of spiritpreneurs, where people are doing work that honors God, and they're doing work that honors themselves, their gifts and their talents, and they're earning a living doing all of them. I'm hearing.
We have another caller on the line. Did you have a question or a comment for us?
You can just mute the line, Elisa,
okay,
and tell Lori's ready for calls. That'd probably be best right now.
Okay.
Just mute the line. So tell us a little bit about that word spiritpreneur, Lori. That's one of your powerful, powerful words that's, you know, crafted inside that book that you wrote several years ago about Jesus, first called Jesus Inc. and now called, retitled as Jesus Entrepreneur. Tell us about that word. That's a powerful vision that you have.
Well, spiritpreneur is someone who, like I said, those three things: doing work that honors God, doing work that honors themselves, their gifts, and also earning a living while they're doing that. In my previous show, right before this, with Allison, we were talking about, she said, have you ever met people who say they're doing the work of the Lord, but they're just miserable? And so, you know, just saying that you're doing God's work, but if it's work that doesn't honor you, if you think you've got to be a preacher, but you really want to be a baker, then you might think you're honoring God, but you're not honoring your gifts by doing that. And so you're not a spiritpreneur. I don't care what church you work for. So it's getting that alignment. And it doesn't mean you have to be your own boss. It means you recognize who your boss is, wherever you are.
Wow.
That's who you serve.
And you know the concept that is the meta thinker And, you know, can you explain a little bit about that concept? I was researching a little bit on the Greek word, what is the root of the word and all that, but I would like for you to tell us about that.
Well, the meta-thinker is someone who thinks about what they're thinking about. So there's three types of people in the world. There's the reactors, there's the thinkers, and then there's the meta-thinkers. The reactors are someone who would say, lose a job, go get a job. They are in reaction to what happened to them. The thinkers might lose a job and think, you know, I want a better job. I think I'm going to go get some training. So they're thinking about it. But the meta-thinker thinks about what they're thinking about. So let's say they lose a job. The meta-thinker's reaction, or response rather, is, this is an opportunity for me to really reflect on what God has called me to do. I'm going to take this time and really be conscious of how I direct my energies in the world and in the workplace. So Jesus, he taught meta-thinking. When the woman came to the well thinking she was thirsty, he asked her a meta-thinker question or made a comment. If you really knew who you were talking to and what you really are thirsty for is living water. So that's the meta-thinking overlay. So that's one of the broad concepts in the book that I want to convey. This isn't a book about how to be a responder, lose a job, get a job, although I cover almost every category that I could think of about certain practical things you can do, whatever situation you're in, career-wise. But it's more about being thoughtful about your work, just like Jesus was. He was a carpenter in a family business, and he made a very conscious decision to go do something else. He must be about his Father's work. Well, your father was a carpenter. No, my real father. So each of us, I think, are called into that transition, and it's a very exciting place. It's a very frightening place for many of us, and that's where I want us to hang out during the space of the book as readers.
Yeah, when I was researching on the root, the meta, one definition of this Greek word is transcending, or going above and beyond, right?
Right, right.
In technology world, in the computer field, it defines things like, for example, that embrace more than the usual. And if you're a programmer, you can say, okay, this is a meta file, and the meta file contains all the types of that. And the metadata describes of other data. So for the young crowd, I think this group is going to be really excited because it's going to speak their language. It's amazing how my nieces and nephews, they manage this concept so easily. And I'm looking forward to see the reaction of the young crowd and as well as a lot of people that have been losing jobs and, could be somebody that is in the 40s and 50s, and it's going to be so refreshing to take a step back and think what they really need to think about.
Right. Well, and it was really fun for me when I looked at the career characters in the Bible. And and this was a blog that I sent out today that we've gotten quite a bit of response on. But if you look at the majority of biblical characters, they were either self-employed or they worked in a family business. For example, the self-employed, Nathaniel, Samuel, Jonah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Elijah, they had to find their own means of living. We know about Elijah going to the widow and having her change the jar of oil into money to support him and her family. And then there's others who owned or worked in the family business. Abraham had a family business. Lot worked for him. Noah had a family business building the ark. Job had a family business. Moses had a family business, worked in his father-in-law's business. So the challenges back then were similar, working in a family business when you're not the owner of the family business. And then when you look at the career transitions, family business to employee, Joseph, Jacob, Moses, family business to self-employed. Now, this one I had a lot of fun. Adam and Eve were in the family business because they were working for God in the Garden of Eden, and then they messed up, and God kicked them out and made them self-employed. Satan was working in the family business as an angel for God. He got uppity. God kicked him out. He became self-employed. Jesus was working in the family business, came to earth, became self-employed, calling us all back to the family business. So if you put it in business terms, one of the things that became very clear to me was that there's no single, you're not going to make a mistake if you start out, you know, with your own company and then things get tough and you have to go work for someone else. That doesn't mean you're a failure. My goodness, look at Joseph. You know, he was kidnapped and sold and prisoner and all these things. God is with you wherever you go. So don't think that you're going to make a mistake. And also with kids and parents who are so set on getting into the right school, you know, forget about it. Career planning is about relationships and responsiveness and following your giftedness, and you're not going to fall off the high wire as you seek God. And so what? If you do, there's a net.
So Lori, let me jump back to my question a little bit earlier on that spiritual newer piece that you were referring to, and how you ultimately want to see this book impact the lives of your readers, and then move beyond your readers, you know, as that book is given away in content or in message. You talk about a place in the book where you said, to achieve greatness, we must transcend motivation and move into volition. How do we do that? How do we, and what are you talking about there? I mean, you know, we all get up and we go to work or we do our tasks. We're planning a career. We have a vision in mind of maybe what our parents want for us, what our you know, our ancestors think we should be doing, what we think God is calling us to do. You know, we have all these things in front of us. What are you talking about here? Motivation and volition. And then you say, what will happen if I don't do this? What will happen if I don't?
That's the volition question. Volition meaning willpower. Well, it's from an MIT study that they noticed, you know, that 93% of change initiatives never get implemented in major corporations. And so they looked at the percentage, the 7% or whatever it was very small, that actually did get implemented. And they found that someone took ownership of the change initiative, and then when the motivation wore off, which is when it stopped feeling good and rah-rah and yeah, and it became hard and lonely and discouraging, they ask themselves that question, what will happen if I don't do this? And I remember, Alyssa, when you were talking about your work with the disenfranchised, and you work in a school that has a lot of disenfranchised children, and some days you have a really hard time, and then you said, you asked yourself that question, what would happen if I am not doing this? Who's going to defend them? Who's going to stand up for them? So you had moved from the motivation of being Teacher of the Year into the lonely task of being sometimes an unpopular principal with your staff because you were pushing them so hard. So that's what it means. It's not about always feeling good. Sometimes it's about just moving through willpower into the right space.
Hmm. Interesting.
We have 5 minutes and we have two callers on the line. Let's invite them to see if they have a question or comment before we wrap up for the evening. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, and right before you do, I would like to close the show with this article that was released by Publishers Weekly for the new book, and just kind of in-cap the show with that as we go out. But these callers may have a comment, and or they may just be on the line to listen, Elisa. So let's find out, and then we'll close the show out with the Publishers Weekly review.
Perfect. I have a caller from Jacksonville, Florida. Caller, are you on the line from Jacksonville?
Yes.
Do you have
Hi.
A question
yes.
or a comment for us?
Well, not a question, just a comment. I've thoroughly enjoyed. I just heard about Lori Beth on Allison's show, and I will be going out and getting her books. I'm totally inspired. I've had titles that have been birthed in me probably 20 years ago, and I've been afraid to step out of that comfort zone, but being involved with Allison and then listening to Lori Beth tonight on both shows, it has motivated me and inspired me to step out and do what I know God has destined for me to do. So I thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for calling in. You are rising, risking, and roaring, it sounds like.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. And we have also a caller from El Paso. Our caller from El Paso, did you have a question or a comment for us tonight? Well, I think the problem, Ms. El Paso, is just listening on our show, so I'll turn it back over to you, Shelley, to wrap us up.
Great. Well, thank you, listeners, and for those that will listen later to this show, we're so excited about being part of this with you, Lori Beth, as we unpack the contents of Jesus Career Counselor, How to Find and Keep Your Perfect Work. And I will close the show with this Publisher's Weekly Review that went out last week, and in regards to Lori Beth. She taught readers how to be Christians in business. Now Jones, business consultant and author of the best-selling Jesus CEO, is helping readers find their ideal careers. Jones encourages readers to cultivate a vocation in which they can naturally and joyfully be fruitful. Each of the book's chapters describes one of the 12 dreams the Holy Spirit has for humans: to renew, revive, risk, etc. There's 12 of those. This framework doesn't offer a step-by-step process for job hunters. Instead, it exposes the big questions anyone should face before making career decisions. No beach reading here, folks. Readers will work through auxiliary activities and apply ideas through reflection and action. Employing biblical examples and her own experiences, Jones coaches readers, directing them to decipher what bubbles up inside and can be poured into the world from your soul while you're working. Recognizing the complexities of career hunting, she also offers practical advice, resume writing techniques, and categorical prayers. For the many who are out of work or those who just need a change, Jones's wisdom may stir them to view work in a new light. Congratulations, Lori Beth, as that review went out last week from Publishers Weekly. Again, thank you, Lori, for being on the show. Thank you, Elisa and Vicki, also for being here at, you know, what a great, exciting time. Just a lot of energy, Lori, around that. Any final thoughts before we sign off here, Lori Beth, for your audience or a takeaway for this evening?
Well, I just read the book today. I took it and read it straight through, and I got really inspired because there's so much beautiful scripture in there. You know, just hearing God's voice again, it just inspired me. How could you not think about our Creator and the messages that we have been given? And so that's what I hope people get from this. It's like just a mini oxygen bar of the ruah, of the breath of the breath of God. So that's what I'm excited.
Wow, that is awesome. Well said, well done. Thank you, everyone. We'll be back next week with more of Jesus Career Counselor, How to Find and Keep Your Perfect Work. Good night, everyone.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Blessings.
Good night.
Bye-bye.